8 to 9. And you would look at the walls of the stores on the north side of the street. You would see a little plaque there that says, on this spot was the song of Little Town of Bethlehem written. Philip Brooks, who was a pastor of the First Baptist Church that was on that spot, had been to Bethlehem and had enjoyed the sights and sounds of Bethlehem, and they were much upon his mind. And so when he came back to the church where he was preaching, he told his music director, I've written a poem about Bethlehem. Do you think you could make some music to go with it? And the brother said, yes, I think I could. His name was Redner. And so the thing was accomplished, and the little town of Bethlehem was first sung in our city of Philadelphia. All right. Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. What I would like to talk about this morning are the songs of Christmas. Do you like Christmas music? I really enjoy it, and in my home, I start the Christmas music usually about the time of Thanksgiving or before, and listen to it day in and day out, and I enjoy it very much. But we can be thankful that we have great composers who have written concerning the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The account of the coming of Christ is one of a time of joy, and each of the characters play their parts that they have opportunity of sharing what they have seen and heard. And Dr. Luke, who has written all this down for us, has given us a wonderful account of the birth of our Savior. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou who art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered in her mind what manner of greeting this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know no, not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. Okay, thank you. I've called this song a serenade. A serenade is a song of love. And this is what the angel was sharing with Mary as he comes to her and says, Grace be unto thee, or godly favor. Every Israeli woman wanted to be the channel of bearing the Messiah. And of all the women in Israel at that time, Mary was chosen to do it. She was no doubt very young, possibly in her late teens, and she had a great fear at the sudden appearance of Gabriel. Gabriel is the angel of the Lord that is used for special messages. He appeared to Daniel in the Old Testament, and appeared here to Zacharias, and now to Mary. Gabriel's love song was this. It says, "Grace be unto thee, the Lord loves thee dearly." I wonder if you ever heard that song from the Lord himself, that he loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the Lord Jesus commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The love of God is a great message, a message that has broken down many stout and stubborn hearts. And each of us can have that done for us as we seek to live this life below. We see that Gabriel shares with her some promises of how the fact should take place, the birth should be accomplished, because Mary says, I have had no husband, and I don't see any chance of my ever having any children in this situation. But Gabriel showed her that the Holy Spirit would come upon her, and that she would be impregnated by God himself. And that holy thing that was to be born of her would be called the Son of the Highest, and that he would have the throne of his father David. Now Mary was a rightful heir of the throne of Israel. She was a direct descendant, and had there been a throne, she would have been a good choice to have taken the seat on that throne. But of course we know that the Romans had come in and conquered the country, and there was no throne in Israel at that time, and the Romans were the ones in charge. But as Mary still had questions, each of those questions were answered by Gabriel. And he shares with her the good news, the serenade of love, that God would use her as a channel of blessing and as a channel to bring the baby Jesus into the world. Now, we can continue. Verse 39. 36. "And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth hath also conceived." We read that. And then God, "with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord," or "I am the Lord's servant," is the way one translation puts it. "Be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Then Mary arose in those days, and went to the hill country with haste unto a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias, and greeted Elizabeth. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out with a loud voice, and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come into me, or should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. The second song I've called a beatitude. A beatitude is that which is a song of blessing. And as we read the account with Elizabeth and Mary together, Elizabeth three times uses the term blessed, that Mary would be blessed, has been blessed of the Lord, because the baby Jesus had been planted in her womb, and that God was going to use her as the vehicle to bring the Messiah into the world. Elizabeth had a great insight into what was taking place. She must have understood the scripture, for it had promised that there would be, that Christ would be born of a virgin, and that he would come into the world to bring salvation. And of course, Elizabeth, as she talks to Mary, says that it says of her that blessed is she that believed. The Lord wants that from each of us, to believe, to put our trust in him. And that's necessary, is it not? There is no other way we can come to God except as we believe what he has promised in his word. And over again in the New Testament, we are asked to believe, to trust, to understand what God has for us. Now, going on from that point, in verse 46, Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath shown strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. He hath lifted or filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he sent empty away. He hath helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary abode with her about 3 months, and returned to her own house. This song, of course, is called the Magnificat. And Magnificat means something that magnifies. And Mary, though she was young, had a great knowledge of Scripture. As you read this portion where she is speaking, 12 times she has quoted from the Old Testament. 12 times she uses words from the Old Testament. So she not only knew the Word of God, but she it was something that was near and dear to her in her life. She used the term, "God my Savior," and that's a great term. Let me share something with you. It's been 12 or 14 years ago, I had the privilege of going to Africa, and I had to wait in South Africa until my work papers came through. And I was asked to visit with a group, ladies' Bible study group in South Africa, and they asked would I come and share a little portion with them, which I was glad to do. And I was talking speaking to them from Titus, and I mentioned that the term God our Savior is only used twice in the Bible. It was used in Titus and in the Song of Mary in her Magnificat. Well, the group there finished, and they dispersed, and the lady whose home we were in was bidding us goodbye. And she says, "Oh, and by the way, Mr. Harper, that term also appears in 1 Timothy. So So she knew her Bible much better than I can tell you. So we have an opportunity to bring praise to God. And there's less and less of that today, I'm afraid. We have sort of lost the art of, with our tongues, with our mouths, praising God. I recently visited in Florida. My brother Bob lives down there in Orlando. So one Sunday, they had to go away, and I went to a nearby assembly near where they lived in the Orlando area. There are four assemblies in Orlando, so I won't tell you which one it was, but I was more than a little surprised that there was never one word of praise to God in that meeting that we gathered together. There were 8 or 10, maybe 6 or 8 men got up and read portions of Scripture and maybe commented on them a little bit, but there was never just saying to God how much I love you, how wonderful you are, all of the attributes and glories of your person, and how you have how we have been blessed because of what you've done. I'm thankful that I heard that this morning here, that you have a desire to bring praise to God. The men can do it audibly, the ladies can do it inaudibly, but God hears both of them. God hears what you say and what praise emanates from your lips and from your heart. Mary said, "All shall call me blessed." And she was not the blessor. She was the one who was blessed. Unfortunately, the Catholic Church has made her one of the blessors, and that is unscriptural. But she was not a blessor. She was blessed, and God used her. I think we have downplayed Mary because the Catholic Church has made so much of her. She was a very wonderful woman, and we do well to study her life and her manner of living and to see what she knew concerning the things of the Lord. And the Lord blessed her and used her. So this third hymn of praise is called, I've called the Magnificat, as Mary praised the Lord. Now, shall we turn over to the latter in the chapter, verse 67. And this is going back now to Zacharias, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit. That's John the Baptist's father, and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people, and he hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, who have been since the ages began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hands of all those that hate us, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers, to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to our father Abraham, that he would grant unto us that we should be delivered out of the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our life. And thou, child," speaking of John, "shall be called the prophet of the highest, for thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, and to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet unto the way of peace. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, and was in the deserts until the day of his showing unto Israel. This next song I've called a Benedictus. Benedictus is a song of blessing as well, and it was spoken by Zacharias after the birth of his son John. He too had been visited by Gabriel back in the early part of the chapter, and so that Gabriel had told him that he and his wife would have a son, and Zacharias and his wife were elderly, and he said, "I don't believe it." And because he didn't believe, the angel struck him with dumbness, and he was unable to speak until the child was born. But after John came into the world, as the Lord predicted, who came to bring the message of to make the way of God, then he was able to speak once more, and these are the words that he spoke together. He gave seven predictions concerning the nation of Israel, and then he gave seven predictions concerning the boy John. And it was only by the Holy Spirit that he could have said this, because it says that we are told that he was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. We can be thankful for prophecy. We have a lot of that today around about us. I am convinced, maybe wrongly, but I am convinced that prophecy was not given to us to tell us beforehand what things would happen, but to show us that after they do happen, that they happened exactly as was told. That was true of the first coming of the Lord Jesus. His coming was prophesied again and again in the Old Testament in many ways, and the people didn't understand it. But after he was born in Bethlehem, and after he was the events of his life took place, they looked back into the Old Testament and they said, "Why, sure, that's just exactly what God had promised, and his word is sure. We can believe him, and we know that he is truth." Well, Zacharias was one who gave a message of prophecy, and as he did, we have the opportunity today to bring praise to God as well. After the child was born, the Lord opened his heart, and he utters all these wonderful prophecies about Israel and about his son. Now, I'm going to skip over the first part of chapter 2, because I'm sure it's well known to everybody, but going down to verse 8 of the second chapter, we have these wonderful words that are so well known to us. "And there were in that same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, an angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very much afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." I said earlier that I love the music of Christmas. But my sister-in-law, my brother Bob's wife in Orlando, she's quite a musician, and she plays the cello with a community orchestra that's down there. And so I was listening to them practice, and so they said, the next piece is called The Songs of Christmas. Well, they had Rudolph, they had Chestnuts on the Fire, they had everything else, but no, not a word of anything about the Lord Jesus. And unfortunately, there have been songs written today that celebrate everything but the wonders of this great event, the coming of the Lord Jesus. I've called this song the Evangel song, and Evangel means good news. It was brought to shepherds who were abiding in the field, watching over their flocks by night. I'm pretty sure that it was not December, because the shepherds would not be out in the fields in the middle of the winter months in Israel or any other country. They would have probably been there in the springtime. Some have suggested that these might have been Levites who were caring for the animals that were raised for the sacrifice. Whether that's true or not, we can't really tell. But we do know that these men who were in the field had some very troubling things happen to them as the light suddenly shone upon them, round about them. Can you imagine what it would be like to be surrounded by light in the middle of the night? I am sure that it filled their hearts with fear. And that's why the angel had to say to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Everything about this birth had been prophesied, and this birth was one that God had promised throughout the ages, and now it was taking place. The message was universal. It shall be to all people. It wasn't just to Christians or Jews or any others. It was to every person. All who would listen would have the good news brought to their minds and hearts. And as Isaiah said, "Unto us a child is born," that spoke of his humanity. And then as he said, "Unto us a son is given," that was his deity. And so this child that was born was both God and man. And we can praise God for it. We don't know how many children were born that night in the town of Bethlehem, but this one was unique, for he was wrapped in swaddling clothes and strips of cloth and lying in a manger. And as we know, he was there because there was no room for his parents in the inn. But Mary was indeed a virgin, and Christ, as someone has said, he entered this life in a new womb, and he left this life in a new tomb before he went back to heaven. So this song of the angel was one that brought joy to their heart, and they immediately followed to find out where this was so. And then we have another song, and this is the song, the Gloria, spoken by the host of angels. The first message was brought by a single angel, and then there was a host of them, and they were saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. I can remember an incident in my own life when I was just a young fella. I was stationed in the Navy, and I was stationed in the Chicago area for a period of 6 months. And at that time, the assemblies in Chicago had a general conference at Thanksgiving. They would rent the largest auditorium in the city, and 1,500 or more people would come together. They would have a meal and the breaking of bread, and that was and speakers, and it was to a young fella just beginning life, you might say, it was a great joy. And at the end of the breaking of bread, they all stood and sang together crown him Lord of all. And I thought, could heaven be any different? But there we shall have the unnumbered host of the redeemed, singing the glories of the Lord as we gather around the throne. I'm looking forward to that time, and I hope you are too. I hope you're looking for that time when you'll be gathered with all of those who are redeemed to sing the praises of him who loved you and gave himself for you. And if you have not, if you're not looking forward to that, let me remind you that the day is fast approaching when Christ shall return and take us to himself. And if you're unsaved at that time, you're going to be lost and lost forever. And so you need to come to the Savior even today if you've never trusted him, that you might own that you are a sinner and that you need the sinner's Savior. And only then can you have eternal life everlasting. It's only as we acknowledge that he is the highest, that is Christ, that there will be peace in our hearts. My last song is found later on in the same chapter, down verse 25. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles, and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them, and said unto Mary, his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against, yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also, and the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. I've called this the song of departure. And Simeon was an old man, but he believed the word of God. He believed that there was coming a Messiah, and God had told him, the Holy Spirit had told him, that he would not die until he saw with his eyes the very Christ of God. And so as Jesus was brought into the temple by his parents, the Holy Spirit caused him to understand that this was indeed the one who was promised of old. He knew what it was like to be led by the Spirit. And I wonder if there are those here today that you have never understood what it is to be led by the Spirit of God. That's an important part of our lives. We might plan and scheme and do everything we can to further ourselves in this world. But if we come by the Spirit of God and let Him direct and guide us, He will bring us into the things which are most necessary for our living. When I was just a young fellow I was living down in Norwood, the company I was working for only had work 4 days a week. And I had lived in the Depression, and I knew what it was like to be out of work, and that frightened me considerably. So I put applications into companies all around Delaware County, and three companies called me on the same day. Which one was I going to refer to? What was I going to do as to which company to take if they all offered me jobs? And it seemed like they were willing to do that. And so my wife and I spent the whole night in prayer before that time. And the Lord seemed to lead that I should accept the offer of the telephone company, even though they were not the best payers. They were not the best ones to support my little family. But the Lord did use that, and I thank Him that I had the opportunity of 38 wonderful years with the Bell Telephone. But that's just a little illustration of being led by the Spirit of God. And when you have an important decision to make in your life, when you have an important time of your life and you're not sure which way to go, spend time in prayer. And if necessary, get the advice and counsel of someone who is older and more spiritual, perhaps, and then let the Lord lead you, let Him open the door that He wants you to go through. And when you do that, He will do the very best for those who put their trust in Him. And so we see that Simeon here, as he was seeking to follow what God had promised him, that he had the joy of holding in his arms the very babe who was the Messiah and who would become the leader of the things of God. Now, he did say to Mary that a sword would pierce her own heart. And that was true, I'm sure, many times during her life. Because the baby was born before she was married, there were always looks of such that people would say, yes, I know all about that. And she would be harmed because of that. I think the marriage in Cana of Galilee was one illustration of that. You remember, they had run out of wine, and Mary said to the Lord Jesus, they had run out of wine. As much as to say, why don't you show them that you are who I know you are, you're the child, the Son of God. Why don't you do that? And he said to her, Madam, my time has not yet come. Now, he did fulfill that need in the marriage feast, but no one knew where it came from except the servants who drew the wine out to the guests at that time. But Mary was as much as saying, "Why don't you take that cloud from off me, that I can say to everyone that you were born legitimately as a child of God?" But that didn't happen. And Mary, not only that way, but stood at the cross and watched him die on a rugged Roman gibbet, because they hated him and wanted to do away with him. "Crucify him. We will not have this man to reign over us." But we can be thankful that Simeon, at least, was one who sang a song of departure. "Let us now thy servant depart in peace." So these are just a few of the songs of Christmas. I hope that as we have been looking at them together, that it will be a symphony of joy in your heart as we think of the things that took place at the time of the birth of the Lord Jesus. Shall we pray? Father, we praise you and thank you again for the Lord Jesus. Truly, your coming is one that brings joy to our hearts, even as the angels rejoiced, "Glory to God in the highest." But we rejoice because you came as the Redeemer, as the Savior of our souls. And as we today are thinking of the coming of the Savior, may our hearts be filled with joy that you loved us and enough to die for us on Calvary's cross. Give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.